Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody can do me like Jesus. I got it, man. I truly understand that. Hallelujah. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you all. I just want you to know he's given us everything. The Bible says, I'll give it unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God makes this promise. That why? Because he is a blessing God. He's the kind of God that blesses. No matter what goes on, God blesses us. Hallelujah. I just love that, brothers and sisters. Luke 6:38 says, my God, make all grace abound toward me in every favor and earthly blessing, so that I have all sufficiency for all things and abound to every good work. Hallelujah. See, that's really spiritual if you think about it. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, I am blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, and blessed going out. My laying down, my rising up. I am blessed in the financial areas of our lives. We are blessed. And I tell people all the time, we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. Hallelujah. He keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Heavenly Father, we just come to you because your word says in everything give thanks. So I just thank you for revelation knowledge. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can get into your word and come to know you, Heavenly Father. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We speak right now, Father God, according to your oracles. We speak based on your word, Father God. We bind up everything that has been said against us, against this ministry, against people on this broadcast. We bind it right now. We come against everything that has been said against the children that belongs to the parents that attends this broadcast. Because I know we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I praise you for it. I decree and declare right now, Father God, that you are our hedges. According to Psalms 91, you will protect us. You have angels that will protect us, Father God. You have placed your angels to protect us. So I thank you for it. And for that reason, Father God, I declare that through you, Father God, the battle is already won. I declare that, Father God, you have ordained us for such a time as this, and I know we can depend on you. I declare that we have already have the victory. We already have the victory in you, Father God. Why? Because you have anointed us to do your will, according to Hebrews 13:21. So I declare, Father God, that you've given us divine healing and divine life. I expect your mercy to continue, your grace to continue to flow. I praise you for it. Thank you for the favor. We'll continue, Father God, in your way. Ask you to bless those that are asking us for prayer, those that have asked the different ones on the broadcast for prayer, directions. We send an agreement with them in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. And everybody agreed, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. In the book of Hebrews, we're talking about fighting a good fight. And that fight is a fight of confession. You say, so you can gain your eternal life. So we're going to go back there, and I think it was Hebrews 4. We're going to do 15. And for those that may not know it, our foundation, one of our foundational scriptures, it's in 1 Timothy 6, I believe the 12th verse, but I quote it, for we're to fight a good fight of faith. We're to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. That is what we call to do. And so remember, yesterday we were talking about Jesus Christ being the high priest of our confession over there in Hebrews 4. So we're going to pick that up Hebrews 4:14 through, well, we just go through the whole 16. So that's Hebrews 4. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if you'll be so kind to read that out of King James Version, and ask Pastor Sharon read it out of the Messenger Bible.
Amen. Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley, and thank you for that prayer, and I stand in agreement with you. Amen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing to the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Hebrews 4. Excuse me. Beginning with the 14th verse. Okay. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let us, okay, let me start over with that. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. He says, remember now, we're fighting the good fight of faith, and we're to hold on our eternal life. That's what we're fighting for. We're to lay hold on that. And the way you lay hold on that is through a good confession. A good confession. Confessing what God has called you to be, what God is calling us to do. You got to hold fast to that. And the Bible says that in Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest. So let me stop right there, because I don't know, this may take us into next week if the Lord says so. But either way, seeing that we have a great high priest. Brothers and sisters, we don't have no any kind of priest. We have a great high priest. We don't have no earthly high priest. We have a great high priest. Matter of fact, the Bible says he is so great that, and maybe I need to talk about why he's great, why he's such a great high priest. Maybe I need to talk about high priest, because Christ is our future king. He is our king now as high priest. Why? Because he is the high priest of eternal. He's our eternal high priest. I want to say in Revelations 20, well, actually, in Hebrews 7 and 1, that's a good place. Because, see, he's not just temporary. Christ is an eternal high priest. So over there in Hebrews 6 and 20, we'll go there first. Hebrews 6 and 20. If you'll go there with me, Hebrews 6 and 20.
In the King James, it reads as follows. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, the old priesthood of Aaron perpetuated itself automatically, father to son, without explicit confirmation by God. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was in the seventh. I apologize. You go over here to the sixth chapter in verse 20. Okay. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. We can pass all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, had taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
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 He's eternal. These earthly priests, they wasn't eternal. They was a limited period of time. And then man had to ordain man. This priest was ordained by God, which is Christ. He is a great high priest. Christ is God in the flesh. Christ, eternal
yes.
King, is eternal. I think about a lot of time people only see that the high priest, and there's people right today, they only understanding that the priesthood is temporary, but our priesthood is not. That's why he's great, because he is the high priest of our confession. Remember that, and that's eternal, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about eternal life. Christ is an eternal being. So, I'm not going to argue just really go through that. I just want you to accept it, do your research, and you'll see. Christ is not only an eternal being. He has no father. He has no mother. He's eternal. He's God inside of the priesthood. Christ was the type of what God had always wanted. So he was better than an Aaron. He was better than a Melchizedek. He was better than a Joshua. Christ's priesthood is better than Moses' priesthood. Christ, so much better. The Bible says he was made better, made out of better material. Christ is better than any Old Testament sacrifice. But
hallelujah.
As we discuss this, let's look at a few scriptures. First of all, how about Hebrews 2 and 17?
Hebrews 2 and 17 read as follows in the King James. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Amen.
Amen, amen. That's why when he had to enter into every detail of human life, then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself. All the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Look at God.
So he was
yes.
great. He was great because he was able to be like us, understood us,
amen.
Went through some of the same
yes.
stuff we went through. And
yes.
that meant so much. Because when you think about the priesthood, most of them, their job was to pretty much keep the peace between God and man. They took man's sacrifice and offered it to God, but none of them experienced it without sinning. Jesus, as our high priest, he did it and never sinned. He identified with us and never sinned. Not like these other high priests who did some of everything under the sun. Jesus wasn't like that. He wasn't high priest because really the high priest was an office, just like the president of the United States. It was an office, but that office required certain standards. Well, Jesus didn't have to go through the earthly way because he came from the Father. He came as a high priest with instruction, spiritual instruction, not like man. Man had to have a ritual. He had to have this and have that. When Jesus was questioned on several occasions, he said, I don't have anything to hide. What I said it in the temple. I said it among the people because of who he was, the priest. The high priest in that day was jealous, and they wanted to know by what authority he was doing what he was doing. Well, he's there to set up a different kingdom or a different religion or a different world than they've been accustomed to. You say, I can do that thing in there. And most people was appointed, and I know somebody may question this. Most of them was appointed. Jesus was born in the priesthood. He was a priesthood forever. Then we look at, we'll look at a couple more. How about, let's look at Hebrews 3. In Hebrews 3 and 1.
Okay. In Hebrews 3 and 1, in the King James, it reads as follows. Oh, I put 1 and 3, I'm sorry, 3 and 1.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. So, my dear Christian friend, companion in following this call to the height, take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. Faithful in everything God gave him to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, this verse would have us to be mindful that how special Jesus were, how different he was than the Jews. For Jews, the high priest of their human authority was limited, but Jesus was unlimited. The high priest for Christians, if you'll see this, the high priest for Christians, the highest human authority was God's apostle. Now, Jesus, God's apostle, meaning one who is sent, and high priest is the ultimate authority in the church, the ultimate authority, and you have to see that. So the author uses a different picture to explain Jesus' relationship to the believers. First, he is one apostle, one who is sent of God, to whom all should listen, our high priest, through whom we come to God through the Father. And thirdly, the rule of God's house. Faithful, the Bible says. As soon as, he is not to assume anything, but he is the son over God's house, who we should obey. The Bible is full and filled with different houses. What house do you belong to? Who are you obeying? That's why it's so important to understand the picture that they're making about Jesus Christ. The Bible shows the difference than what man's optical nerve is showing. Christ is the high priest for God, who represents God and who is teaching us a relationship with God, not indirect, but direct. With the old high priest, all they could do is take your offering and put it on the mercy seat. Christ is the mercy. Christ is grace.
Amen.
So, we'll look at, but I mean, that's why we went to Hebrews 4 on yesterday. Hebrews 4, I think it was 14. We'll read 14 through 16, I think. Yeah, 4:14 through 16.
Okay. In the King James, Hebrews 4:14 through 16 reads as follows. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let us not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Amen.
So our job is to speak that word. Hold on to our profession. Keep it. Keep speaking it. See, we need to hold on to our declaration. Whatever you're declaring, hold on to. So if I say 2 Peter 1:4 says I'm a partaker of the divine nature, Christ is going to honor that if you hold on to it. Because it will be tried now. You can't stop and say,
amen.
Galatians 3:13. You can't say that and Christ not uphold it. If you believe that, you'll say that. And if you say it, Christ said, I'll uphold it. Matter of fact, we'll go to Galatians 3:13.
In the King James, Galatians 3:13 read as follows. Here we are. Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? Amen.
Amen, amen.
So you see, Christ was able to declare this because he redeemed us so he can present it to the Father and say, yes, I honor that confession.
Hallelujah.
We have to hold to it when we're being tried.
Yes.
You tell the devil, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Yeah. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Christ will honor that. That's what the scripture is saying, if you hear it. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passing to the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You got to profess something. If you ain't professing nothing, your mouth is shut. How about that one? Or if you ain't professing what the Word of God say, now this is spiritual and it's for faith. Let me go and throw that in there, right? Because I know the enemy will lie to you. But you have to keep professing it, keep saying it, keep saying it, and know that we got to hold on. The reason he tells you to hold on to it, because you're going to be tried.
Yeah.
So you can't just say that and not be tried. You will be tried like fire. But you're going to be okay because you're going to come through it. That's why you got to hold on to it. You know, you got to hold on to it because when something is tried, it's being proven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I better say that one more time because a lot of times people just talk, but has it been proven yet? See, people tell me a lot of stuff, but until you prove it, people say, oh, well, you know what, I ain't taking this vaccine. People say, oh, this, I ain't going to believe in no God. People tell me all this stuff. Okay, what you got to prove different than what the Word of God say? Because, see, I can take them to the Word and show them the Bible is the oldest book in the world. It was here before anybody you knew. It was here before history. The Bible is here. Matter of fact, it's the oldest book to man's knowledge. And there's no other book can prove creation like the Bible. So I got something to stand on here. Because Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I'm living by the word. Now show me what you're living by. See, it's going to have to be proven, refined, just like gold, you know, just like silver. This stuff is proven to be what it is. So when you say things, the Bible says, hold on to it now, because you're going, your faith is going to be challenged. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to declare your faith. And when you do, we have a superior high priest, a superior chief priest. He's great. And matter of fact, he is so great, he's going to take what you just said and tell the Father. It's more than the Word of God. And then that's what happens, see? You got to hold on to it. And the reason you're holding on to it, because you're going to be tried. Hebrews 5.
Hebrews 5:1 in the King James, it reads as follows. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, every high priest selected to represent men and women before God and offer sacrifices for their sins should be able to deal gently with their failings, since he knows what it's like from his own experience with their failings. Since he knows what it's like from his own experience. But that also means that he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as the people. Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, Christ.
Amen, amen.
As a high priest, Christ as a high priest understood what we were going through. And like any other high priest, will offer gifts and go to God. Christ offered gifts also to God because he offered himself for a sacrifice. See, with the other high priest, they would only take the blood. He took his own blood. His own blood.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he didn't have to go behind a big curtain that stood 30 feet tall. He didn't have to go to the upper room. He didn't have to go there. He went directly to heaven. He was. When I tell you he's great, believe me, we have a great high priest. He understands what we're going through. Now, do that mean he accepted? No. Does he make provision? Yes. So while you holding on to it, he's making provision for us in whatever it is. So by reason, the Bible says, he ought also for the people, also for himself, to offer for sin. And what he offered for sin was his own self. Couldn't go wrong. Couldn't go wrong. So also in Hebrews 6:20, and let me say this. The gifts he offered were spiritual gifts, okay? So while you find in Hebrews 6:20, and maybe I have to stop there, but he offered spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, something man couldn't offer. The earthly high priest couldn't offer that.
Say that.
Come on, shout that about now. He gave us something they couldn't give. They couldn't give us eternal life.
Amen.
And then they had to depend on God's answer, Christ, right off the bat. Right off the bat. He's making he's interceding for us. He have mercy. See, with the worldly high priest, they had a certain order they had to go by. They didn't have a mercy. All they had was a mercy seat. Christ is that seat.
Hallelujah.
They had to go by a bunch of laws and rules and regulations where the law say you can't turn right. So that's where we were at with that. But when Christ came, you said, well, you know, I had to turn right because my wife was pregnant or I had to get there. Christ said, I have mercy on you. Go ahead on. See, the earthly priests couldn't do that. They couldn't make those kind of claims, those kind of decisions. But Christ could. He could. Because there was no law. Christ was above the law. There was no need for law if you're in Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Guess what? You're being directed by him. So you're allowed to go to the throne of grace boldly. But in Hebrews 6:20, I think that's what I said.
Yes.
Hebrews 6:20.
Yes.
Thank you. Praise God. It reads as follows in the King James. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, it's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek.
Amen. Now that's spiritual, brothers and sisters. Everybody can't get to that. That's spiritual.
Amen.
So he says this is hope for us. Let me put it that way. This is hope for us. And we can be strong in this. It let us know that the curtain is nothing that you can touch, but it's God himself. So when Christ, he don't have to pull no curtain, he right there. He representing everything that God wanted in a high priest. And his priesthood, maybe that's another thing, bro, because I want y'all to understand the importance of why we got to hold on to our profession no matter what. Jesus have the tool to honor it.
Hallelujah.
Remember, if you do it by faith, he's the author of faith, so you can't get around that. He owns the mercy seat, so if you need mercy, boom, there it is. If you need grace, boom, there it is.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why he's our great high priest. Everything we ever needed from a high priest. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters, that a lot of people don't understand. This is now. He's our high priest right now. It's spiritual.
Amen.
He's over the house of God. And that house is not some building that people have declared and decreed. It's not that.
Thank you, Lord.
No, sir. But usually I try to give a few minutes for anyone that may have something that couldn't wait, need to be said. We're going to pause here and let you do that one. Hallelujah. Anyone, just press one.
Read Hebrews 6:20 from the New Living Translation. It reads, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Amen, amen. That lets us know that's spiritual, as you shared earlier.
Yeah. He is our eternal. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, we might well go there too. In Hebrews 9 and 11, Evangelist Sharon, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, but when the Messiah arrives, high priest of the superior things of this new covenant, he bypassed the old tent and is trappings in this created world and went straight into heaven's tent, the true holy place, once and for all. Amen, amen.
And the 12th verse says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood entered into once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We have eternal redemption. For if the blood, got to see that. See, those other high priests, they were taking the blood of goats. They were taking the blood of goats and the blood of bulls and the blood of the lambs. They were taking the ashes of a heifer. They were sprinkling. That's how they were doing that to purify. Now, what Christ offered so much more. So much more. He took his own blood. And it's there in heaven as an eternal sacrifice. So when you get there, you stand before God and you held on to your eternal profession, Christ's blood is there to pay the price in eternity. Not just here, in eternity.
Thank
you know
you,
why?
Because
you held on to your profession.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And Pastor, I have to read that out of the Message Bible also. And it says, he also bypassed the sacrifices considering of goat and calf, instead using his own blood as the price to set us free once and for all. If that animal blood and the other rituals of purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters, our religion and behavior, think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out through the Spirit. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable so that we can live all out for God. Amen, amen.
Wow, wow. You see, brothers and sisters, if you think about what the blood of animals did, and they purified the soul, supposedly, can you think about what Christ's blood does? Once Christ purify your soul, you don't have conscience of sin. That's not what you're about. You're not sin conscience. You become righteous conscience.
Amen.
See, the more you get into righteousness, the more you want it. You don't even see yourself as a sinner. You see yourself as a partakers of a divine nature now. Your whole nature different. You know what? We better pick that up when tomorrow is Thankful Thursday. Well, I don't know. If not, we'll pick it up there. If not, definitely Friday. We'll pick it up right there. Okay.
Amen.
So y'all pick it up, and we'll see you all on tomorrow.